Sunday to you. Let's grab our hymnals, please, and begin the service singing page 22. Let's stand together, please. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Page number 22. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Let's sing it joyfully from our heart on the first. Blessed assurance, Jesus is
Christ is worthy of our praise. Amen. And it is good to be in God's house this morning. We welcome you to church and the first Sunday of the month of June. And we know that 2 weeks from today is Father's Day. We've got to keep that in front of you. But we're so grateful to have you here. So many guests are here, and we're so thankful to have you with us. We welcome our online church family as well. And summer is in full swing. We have a number of people who are vacationing, and yet we've got a lot of guests here today as well, and we thank God for you. And we're looking forward to a great day in the Lord's house today. And let's commit this service and go to the Lord in prayer together and ask Him to work in our midst. Our Father, we're thankful that You're so worthy of our praise. We thank You, Lord, for Your love and goodness to us. Thank You for Calvary and the cross and what You did for us to pay our sin debt. I pray, Lord, that you would draw the lost to salvation today. And God, I pray that you would comfort your people and edify your church today. May all that takes place bring glory and honor to the name that is above every name. We thank you for your greatness and goodness to us. May Christ be high and lifted up from the earth. I pray you'd work in every heart through the preaching of your word. And may every song magnify the precious name of Jesus. For we ask these things in his precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing.
See our Savior hung between two thieves. Hear the soldiers mock his name. See his followers as they cry in disbelief. This could not be the reason why he came. See him realize his life is through. Feel the love burn from his eyes. Behold the temple veil as it was rent in two. And hear the one on Calvary as he cries. Pain in full, I found the word I came to do. Pain in full, I paid love's final price. Some still choose to mock his name. Hear his followers now as they can boldly say, we are the reason that he came. See the ones who trust themselves alone to do what only Christ can do.
Penalty has been paid in full by our Lord Jesus Christ. Page 154. Thank you, choir, for that special. I've heard of a land that is wondrously fair. 154. Heaven for me. Oh, what an assurance we have, those who've been saved, about this place. On the first, 154, lift it up now. I've heard of a land that is wondrously fair.
Thank you. thank you so much for being here today. Great crowd. Especially excited about our B Sunday School bus kids up here. We have a lot more today. You've just promoted to the next grade up. And it's great to have bus kids in here. Look, thank God. They're waving. I'm glad you're here. Brother Flood, I think you and your wife had 12 teenagers on your bus. And that is great. It's a privilege to have you in church. And we thank God for you. The ushers are coming with the bulletin. Raise your hand if you missed one. I'd like you to be in church tonight as they're getting those out. And tonight's service is at 6 o'clock. And we're in the third message in a series, And When a Nation Forgets God. And it's not all depressing, but what happens when a nation forgets God? And how can we get back on course? You know, government thinks if they'll throw more money to a program, and it takes about 5 years. Mr. Newsom said when he was the mayor of San Francisco, give me 10 years with the programs I have for you, and we'll have no homelessness in San Francisco. Well, more money's not the answer. More programs. You know what the answer is for America coming back to God? This old altar on a Sunday morning, Sunday night. Just God's people getting right. It could happen this morning. And I believe that revival is around the corner. I'm praying for that. Tonight after the service, third announcement, the seniors will be hosting a summer fellowship. And tonight it's chicken soft tacos. All the toppings, $7 a plate, and it's a good thing out in the courtyard. And we look forward to seeing you there. I hope you'll be in church. Choir, I want to thank you. That paid in full. I'm so glad that God paid all my sin. And I was a sinner needing a Savior. And then Jesus came by. And visitors, it's so great to have you today. The ushers are coming through with a visitor brochure. On the back of it, you can fill out a card placing the offering plate. But at least get something about our church and what's happening here. Raise your hand if you're visiting ushers. I think you can see our visitors. And we're just so very thankful for each and every one of you. For our class, it's couples class today. We've divided the Brazilians out. God's reaching Brazilians. I think they had 17 this morning. And next Sunday for the two committed, we'll have lunch together with our family. And our people are bringing all the sides. And the Brazilians are cooking all the meat. And it is going to be great. Say, well, I want to come. Tough luck. You're not in the two committed couples class. But thank God for you. You folks are great. You know, many of these are coming to church and they haven't learned yet English, don't have it down, but every Sunday they're here. I think of Grandma Martinez. She's with the Lord, and she would come every Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Never understood English for a few years, but she just kept coming. And I got to be her pastor for many years. We have two white flowers today. Brother Herman Dreikoff passed away this past week in our church. He was 81 years of age, and he lived right next door to the other property that's filled this hour, a few blocks away, at the rest home. Just such a wonderful man. Brother Martinez ministered to him, particularly in these last days, quite a bit. And so we're thankful for Brother Herman. And then, of course, a very sad announcement. Christina Martinez passed away this week, and she, for 40 years, was a bus captain here. And just a wonderful, godly lady. And we miss her presence already. And her memorial service will be on Friday morning here at the church in the auditorium at 10 o'clock. There'll be a viewing on Friday morning from 9 to 9:45. On Thursday here at the church in the lobby, there's a viewing from 4 p.m. till 8 p.m., about 4 hours. And we'll say more about that tonight and Wednesday night, but I want you to be aware of that. It's an amazing thing as I see the girls are ready to sing, and these girls all either born here, raised here, as kindergarten on up, and we're thankful for them. But I got thinking about you girls. Well, now we've replaced one. Christina, you weren't born here, but these girls are such a blessing. They represent seven children now, their mothers seven times. And really, they're singing a song they could not sing if they're not living it. All three of these ladies every Saturday go bus calling, soul winning, knock on doors, take their little kids with them. The littlest, I think, would be JD, as he bought two maybe, and Rebecca, she's about three maybe, just little kids. And then they take them out door knocking to visit people. The song they sing for us today is, Did You Tell Somebody About Jesus? You can't sing it, girls. Sort of like people that sing about prayer. You can't sing about prayer if you don't pray.
Yes, sir.
These are good soul-winning ladies, and they're great, great, great husbands. Girls, you sing for us, please.
You've known, and often you've stopped to talk for a while with those that you've met on the way. But friend, did you mention the name of the Lord with someone you talked with today? Did you tell someone about Jesus? Did you mention his name to a friend? Did you warn the stranger who's lost and undone that death is the wages of sin? Did you show them the plan of salvation? Did you tell them he's coming again? Did you talk about Jesus or the things of this world? Did you tell someone about him?
Some traveler you may meet today may walk down this pathway no more, for this could be the final mile before his journey's o'er. How sweet
his name to a friend. Did you warn the stranger who's lost and undone that death is the wages of sin? Did you show them the plan of salvation? Did you tell them he's coming again? Did you talk about Jesus or the things of this world? Did you tell someone about him? Did you talk about Jesus or the things of this world? Did you tell someone about him?
Thank you so much for that special. I do want to make two very brief announcements. The first one is because today is Promotion Sunday, and all of the grades are moving up one. Today is the first time that our brand new seventh graders will be able to attend Youth Hour tonight. And so let's make sure we're in our spot. All of the brand new seventh graders at 5:05 in the Youth Auditorium of the Academic Building. We have much stuff good planned. And so we're looking forward to that in the lesson. Then also, Youth Conference begins 2 weeks from tomorrow. And it's going to be a great time. We're looking forward to it. Continue in prayer, if you would, for that important conference as we'll have this entire auditorium filled with youth really from around California and then many, many other states across the country as well. And so we're looking forward to that in the lobby right following the morning service and also tonight following the service. Brother Kevin Padilla will be out there with a sign-up board in need of some volunteers for some maintenance tasks. And just 1 hour, really easy and simple tasks will set you up with everything that you need to complete that as we're looking to turn the buildings around and we make use of the buildings. Really, every single room is used during Youth Conference and many, many, many times during the week. And so we're looking forward to it. Yesterday was the pre-registration deadline, but you can still register, and there's some information in the bulletin there as well. And you can go online and register. We're looking forward to Youth Conference.
Thank you. Let's prepare for the offering. And I want to talk to you about the offering this morning. In fact, I used to talk about it all the time. I was taught that you should always have about a 3 or 4 or 5 minute sort of mini message about the offering. And we haven't done that for years. I did that because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. If your investment, and I'm not saying it's wrong to have a boat, but if your investment's in a boat, you're going to have to be on the boat. You can't be in church. If your investment's in the stock market, you're going to look at the stock market every day. Where your investment is, where your heart will be. It just follows. And I used to talk about the offering all the time. Ms. Treber and I have been here over 48 years, so it's been a long time. The church will celebrate 49 years in July. And I just felt like it was so important to train people how to give. It's my fault. I've sort of left it alone just thinking, well, ushers, I always say, ushers, you come, and then they come, and we give the offering. This year, we're experiencing the blessings of God. We just for free, just began another station, radio station, in Northern California. They're playing KNBBC on the radio, full time, 24 hours a day. It's free. We have stations all over the nation that take our 15-minute broadcast. We have listeners right now, I would imagine, just on one platform alone, probably 10,000 people are watching this service, let alone tonight and all the different platforms. God's been good to us. Missions giving has been so good. The general fund this year has been pathetic. It's my fault. Is our church falling apart? Let me tell you something about longevity. I've watched our church have high days. I've watched us have low days. I've watched us have great times, watched us have hard times. But you just stay. And I've been praying about it. I've been praying. I need to talk to my wife more. I've been talking about reducing my salary. Because it's been now 5 months, and it's low. School enrollments are coming up fine. Their enrollments are good. It just costs a lot of money these days. In the last almost 4 years, everything has gone out of control. And yet we've not raised tuition. We've not raised our food bill. Our food bill is raised, but we have not passed it on. I need God's people in this month of June to really get liberal, very liberal financially. And I've never laid a person off. We have about 75 employees. I've never laid anybody off. I've never cut back our people. I'm very tempted personally to cut back, and I'll still give. My wife and I were giving. Our biggest expenditure in our life, and our house payment's high, it's in this little neighborhood here, but our biggest expenditure is this church. We give more to this church than any other account. I ask you to do something big every week. Ushers come. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him store. Amen. And if you're watching online and say, boy, the place is falling apart. Well, if this is falling apart, the lower floor, the balconies, pretty good crowd this morning, this summer. God's been good to us. Amen. And we're grateful. Met about 40 extra soul winners out yesterday with the Jumpstart Ministry, working the bus route. We had many saved yesterday and this week. And many of you are visitors today as a result of that. Father, bless the offering as we give unto thee. And help us with this general account is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. getting sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind for heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. Life has been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. But I'm weary from the struggle of it all. So I listen, how I listen for his call. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Oh, someday I'll leave this world behind for heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. Heaven's sounding sweeter all the time.
Well, I've been so refreshed being in church. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Isaiah in chapter 28, please. It's, you know, as a preacher, you'd have to be in my shoes to think that people come to hear from God. That thrills God. And it thrills my heart that you would come to the house of God. I watch you sing, and I was watching the teenagers sing this morning and watching you sing. It's just wonderful. We have many services going on at the same hour in these other buildings, other rooms and auditoriums, and the other property, big Spanish service over there, another division of our bus ministry over there. We have completed our series in the book of Colossians, and today we're in Isaiah chapter 28. I trust this will speak to you like it has spoken to me. It's a tremendous truth here in Isaiah 28. As you turn there, Isaiah is blasting these people for 27 chapters. Their nation had deliberately chosen to violate God's commandments and rebel against God. He said, you're sick in your head, chapter 1. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet, you're just sick. You're disturbed. You're sinners. You're rebellious. He uses strong language. Judgment. Judgment. God's bringing judgment. When you get to chapter 28, and I'm not going to get to the verse yet, but he's sarcastic. He says something of sarcasm to these people. Okay, you want this? You want it? Hey, big boy, you want to live like this? All right, how about this? And he's going to tell them that in a minute. He's writing to Ephraim. Ephraim is the second son of Joseph. Ephraim was set up for great success. But as you find in the book of Hosea, 36 times in those 14 chapters, he says, Ephraim, you're in trouble, boy. You keep violating, and your family and your heritage and your tribe, you keep violating the word of God. And I'm going to tell you something, judgment's coming. Ephraim, you listen to me? Judgment's coming. So he writes in chapter 28, and I want you to watch the scripture here. In verse number 14, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. He said, I've got something to talk to you about, you guys that think you're in charge, Ephraim, you scornful people, because ye have said, listen to this, how proud they are. We have made a covenant with death and with hell. We are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. We made our lives our refuge. Under falsehood we hid ourselves. You talk about arrogancy. We don't care about hell. It's not happened often, but in my ministry, I've talked to some folks say, yeah, I'm going to hell. I'm going to have a big beer fest down there, me and all my buddies. You don't know the hell of the Bible then. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. There was a flame that the fire is not quenched. Hell is real. And you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And you don't go to hell because you're a part of this church. You don't go to heaven because you're a part of the church. You go to heaven because you've asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. You were born again. I tell you what, I'm so burdened about our churches. Great, great preacher, pastor, one of the largest churches in America. He's home with the Lord. He'd be about 115 years of age. He once made this statement, large church. He said, I believe 70% of churches, he crisscrossed the country everywhere. He was known as the Prince of Preachers. Remember Dr. Hiles introduced him, the Prince of Preachers of America. He said, I believe as many as 70% of God's people are not even saved in our churches. I know a great evangelist, great man of God. He said about 45 years ago, I don't think 60% of our churches are even saved. They have no knowledge of God. We're given over to hurt and gossip and feuds and envy and strife and jealousy, immorality. I don't know, but I tell you what, as we approach our 50th year, and I've been praying, and it's been happening every service, I've been praying that every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday, every time we have a service, somebody gets saved. This thing of eternity, we're right there. I mean, how much deeper in the gutter can we get before Jesus comes again? And he said, these people said, well, we made an agreement with hell. Hell is a good place. Me and my buddies are going to hang out. No, you're not having a party in hell. It's anguish. It's torment. That's what they thought. Yeah, we're not. And when we lie, God doesn't even know we're lying. God knows everything. They go on. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion, Jerusalem, for a foundation of stone, is tried stone, precious cornerstone, sure foundation, and it believeth shall not meet and not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, righteousness to the plummet. Hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. Go ahead and lie, but hail. And the waters shall overflow your hiding place. You're hiding. That's what he said in verse number 15. We hide ourselves. God says, I'm going to find you. I'll find you, boys. I know right where you're at. I know what to send. I'll send a flood. I'll send hail. And he says, your covenant with death shall be disannulled. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall it be trod down. My message comes from verse 20. For the bed is shorter than that man can stretch himself on, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. I want to speak to you today on short beds and narrow blankets. Short beds. I'm 6 foot tall, which is not tall. Some of you guys are 6'2", 3, 4, 5. I tell you what, we have a Cal King bed. It's great, but I get in some of these hotels and I'm in a small bed. It drives me crazy. My feet are off the end of the bed, and I'm not tall. It just drives me nuts. And when I can't get the blankets around me properly, it just, I'm out of control. I'm up all night and I'm frustrated. 2 weeks ago, one night I couldn't sleep. I came downstairs and I'm, you know, just tossing and turning. It's like 1:30 in the morning. Just been tossing and turning, not sleeping. So I went downstairs and we have a couch. And you'd think the couch is long enough, but that couch is not long enough. It's 2 inches too short. That I laid some blankets down and I laid a pillow down. I got it all set and I brought the covers over me. And I'll tell you what, I was down there 30 minutes. I was so ticked. I wasn't a good pastor at that time. By that time, I was mad. I was up all night. Then I tried a reclining chair. Well, I had a blanket, but it couldn't cover my feet. I was frustrated. Then I said, I'll go back to the bed. Let's try that for a while. But I could top that illustration. That was a short bed. That's what that was. That was a short bed. And Isaiah, out of sarcasm, says, okay, big boy. It's like you're laying on a short bed. You're restless. You think you're getting away with it, but I'm going to deal with you.
Yeah.
And your little blanket's not going to cover you. So last week, on Memorial Day, I flew out of town and I flew to Spokane. And I drove 200 miles across out of Washington into Idaho and into Montana. And I came back Wednesday morning. And I preached. And the pastor put me in a very nice, I was with Brother Tony Hudson preaching and Brother Daryl Cox and Brother John Paisley, Brother Lamons. We just had a good meeting on the Memorial Day, Monday and Tuesday. Those fellows preached and I had the joy of preaching. And they kept us at a beautiful, beautiful hotel at a big bed. And I got in that bed, and that night, whoever made the bed, okay, it had a bed sheet on it, and then it had a sheet, and then it had a comforter, and then it had another sheet, and then it had the top covering. I turned the air conditioner on 67, and it was great. But Brother Oxenine, that comforter and that first sheet got away from my feet. And here's what I'm doing all night long with my feet. You know how you do that? And I needed to just get out of the bed and tuck the thing in, but I was ticked off. That next morning, all those five things were like around my knees. I was frustrated. The bed was long enough, but the blankets, I couldn't get warm. And then I got too cold. And I just got too warm. And it's just crazy. Well, if you're in hotels a lot, and I stay in hotels a lot, running here and there, they don't come and clean your room every day anymore. And I clean it every day, believe it or not. And I fold my soiled towels. They must think a nut is. I wipe the sink out every day. It just, you know, I got everything lined up, you know. Cologne right here, and the shaving thing, everything's all the labels out. I know. They must think, and when they come in, there is nothing to clean. I mean, it's just, I make the bed every day. When I leave, I make the bed. But I got frustrated on Tuesday morning after that night, and I just sort of pulled the covers in their place, and I made the bed. It was okay, looked good, but I didn't tuck anything in. If you think I had a bad night on Monday night, Tuesday night, I could write a book about what happened in that room. There was a war in that room on Tuesday night. I mean, I had the sheet, I had another sheet, I had a comforter, I had another sheet, and then I had a top cover, whatever that thing was. And I wrestled with those things all. I mean, I wrestled with them. And then they were messed up, and I got between the first sheet and the third sheet. I don't know how I did that. And it was all over. Finally, about 2:30 in the morning, I was mad. I said, this is crazy. I'm cold and I'm hot. And I can't get these. My feet are exposed. This is crazy. And I turned the light on and I found that all the bedding except for one sheet was on the floor to my left. All over here, four pillows on the floor. And all the blankets on the floor. And the sheets, but one. And it way up by my knees. I got out of bed, and one by one, I put them right back in place and made the bed. And for the next hour or two, slept well. You know what I experienced? Short blankets. You know what? If you're not careful, you're going to be sleeping in a small bed with short blankets. You say, what are you talking about? Well, here's how it reveals that you're in an uncomfortable position, and you can act like everything's fine. I got hell under control. I'm okay. Hell is okay. All right, death. I'm not worried about death. I got it under control. Isaiah says, you can't even keep your bed or your blankets right. And you know how it shows up that your bed is too short and your blankets? Well, number one, you're going to be a prideful person. Look what he says in chapter 28, verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride. Look what he says in verse 3. The crown of pride. These six things doth the Lord hate. A proud look. God hates pride. The Bible declares that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. I said to a sweet man, Lord, when I'm baptized, he and his wife tonight, they were coming in our class and they found this chair to sit this morning. And I told them after class, and I went down over here and I found a table right here. Said, here's a table and two chairs. And you know, without hesitation, they just walked to that table. Just walked there. I thought, here's a man, he's brilliant, he's smart, he's got a sweet wife. And without hesitation, they just moved where I told him, you know what, that's a humble heart. That's a little thing. Hey, did your mother tell you to make your bed? And it's a big, big issue? It's pride. Your wife says, baby, honey, can you help me take the garbage out? And you have to complain. I mean, what a man. Yeah, I'll take the garbage out. Why does she even have to ask you, sir? And it's a big issue, World War III, because you have to take the garbage out. That's pride. Your boss tries to correct you. And you know what? I'm going to HR about this. You're always on my case. You're always, hey, why don't you get a little thumb here and suck on your thumb for a while? Big boy, you're not as big a man as you think you are. Why is everything such an issue? Because of pride. You know what your problem is? It's showing up that you've been sleeping on short beds and no blankets. You've been sleeping there saying, well, no, I haven't. I've got a plush. You're lying to yourself because it's showing up through your pride. If you cannot be corrected, if I cannot be corrected, if we cannot be convicted, if we cannot get right with God, that's nothing more than pride. You know what else? He says, you want to show it out? No control of your life. And he uses the word drunkenness. When a man is drunk, he has no control of his life. Look what the Bible says. Let's go back to the Bible. Here's Isaiah, and he writes to these people in chapter 28. Woe to the crown, crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. Look at verse 3. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim. Look what he says in verse number 7. They have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet also have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up in the wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err the vision. They stumble in judgment. Look at chapter 29. These three chapters go together. And verse number 9. Stay yourself and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. And they are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. They have. It's not that you're drunk or you're drunk. The fact is, you're sleeping on short beds and narrow blankets. You're doing your own thing, and God says you're out of control. It's just not here, but it's everywhere. But I've been in other places. I saw it happen. But I saw it this week. I was going down the road and the light was red. There's only one car in front of me. No cars on the side streets. And a guy's going 50 miles an hour. and he blows through the red light. That's not only pride, but that's no self-control. You can't even obey a light. You cannot obey green, yellow, red. Why are you driving? You're out of control. Well, I got called to work. I can't make it today. Why? It's 10 o'clock. I slept in. 10 hours of the day is gone. You're sleeping in. You know why? You're out of control. I can't make it to church. Can't make it to God's house. Sunday morning, 10:30 is early, you know. What are you talking about? You're sleeping in a short bed and narrow blankets. And you think, oh, I got it all in control, man. Hey, how about partying tonight? How about having a time? Oh, can do that. Can't go to work on time. Can't have to get to church on time. Hey, how about being in the choir? Yeah, I will, every other week. No discipline. It's getting quiet in here now. That's a short bed. You see, it was drunkenness or drugs or not dependable in life, not responsible in life. When you cannot, you're just all in charge. You're just in charge. No one's going to tell me anything. I'm going to do my own thing. If you don't like it, then you know the third way this shows up, that we're sleeping in short beds and narrow blankets. We deceive ourselves. Look at 28:15. I like this verse. We have made our lives our refuge. We have hid ourselves. Nobody knows what I'm doing to myself. Verse 17, the hiding place. He says in verse 17. Verse 18, he deals with again. You're not going to hide from me, God says. I wonder, all of us, Monday through Saturday, what we're doing and we're hiding. I just wonder. I don't think Mr. Biden or Mr. Trump, I don't think, we think, no, those guys are both so bad. That's a reflection of who we are. God's people. I want you to know that you can't put hope in a person. You can put hope in God. And if we're not careful, we deceive ourselves. It's all about me. Look at chapter 30, verse 15. These three chapters go together. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning you shall rest and be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. God says, I'll still help you. But you said no. What's it going to take? What is it going to take for you and for me to get right with God? What's it going to take? Well, I like how I'm sleeping here. Nobody needs to know I'm sleeping like that. Nobody needs to know I have a short bed. Nobody needs to know I have narrow. But he's saying, I'm telling you, friend, you're not getting away with it. We all know. We all know that you're out of control. A young man, his dad was talking to me this week. His dad's about my age, and his son's married. He's got kids. He's got a sweet wife. And he's talking to me out of town this week, and he said, you know, Brother Treber, and my son's told, and he has told me, they're probably watching, they're my dear friends. He said, my son was a high school senior and was really, I mean, he's got our sweet son, but making some wrong decisions. He never was immoral or anything, you know, but he just said he did not want what he had been brought up with. He was a senior and he went to youth conference. He was living, I think, at the time in South or North Dakota. He said his senior year, before his senior year, he got so thoroughly right with God at youth conference. He said, in doing so, look at him today. He's a layman in the church. He's got a great job. He's got a sweet, sweet wife. They've always been my friends. Beautiful children. You know, you can go ahead and get away from God all you want, but God says, you're not hiding from me. I see it all. I see the dishonesty of money under the table. I see the dishonesty of lying on our taxes. I see the dishonesty of watching things on the LCD screen or TV or whatever we call it nowadays or our computer. See, you're watching things that you should never be watching. I don't think it's possible for a teenager to get to an aisle in white with a cell phone. I don't think it's possible. You say, well, that's way over the top. I've been in the ministry 54 years, almost 55. I know something about life. I don't know what you know all about computers and all the brains that you folks, but I know something about people. I know you're not going to make it because I have to deal with it all the time. And across this nation, here's a pastor calls and says, what do I do? My teenage daughter just got messed up with this. What do I do? Another pastor calls. A girl in our youth group, 14, she's having a relationship with a man in Germany coming over here to this country. And they're going to meet up together. What are you going to do? That little girl that said to her mother, Mother, I'll do what I want, distant state. I'll do what I want. I'm not going to obey you. She found one of these fellows online, older than her, much older than her. He picked her up. They went to a motel. Promised her, I love you, all these things. Next morning when she woke up, he wasn't there. He left her a little small mini coffin and said, welcome to the world of AIDS. We can hide our sins all we want. We can disobey all we want. We can rebel against our parents all we want. We can rebel against authority. Oh, please, those pigs. They have no right to tell me. Well, who can tell you? I mean, it was a moment in this country. We used to think police officers. I remember as a boy, I remember the word cop started coming out. My parents wouldn't let me use the word cop. It was disrespectful. Then now we have programs about it, I guess, and we talk about the cops are here or whatever. And I'm not saying you're wrong, but you had to call them policemen. That's just the way it was. And if they spoke, you listened. You know, if we're not careful, we think we're getting away with this. I'm out of time. There's emptiness. Look at chapter 29 and verse number 8. And it shall even be as a hungry man dreameth. Behold, he eateth. He's dreaming this. But he awaketh, his soul's empty. And as when a thirsty man dreameth, behold, he drinketh. But he awaketh, and behold, he's faint. You see, you can dream all you want. I'm okay. Brother Flood, I need to tell you this because my wife said I was preaching a couple nights ago this week in my sleep. I said, Luke! I think I was talking about the book of Luke. I must have talked about the book of Luke. Or maybe I was preaching you. You were supposed to come forward, brother. But she heard Luke. I mean, she heard Luke. Is there anything you need to tell me today? Are you okay? How about your wife? Is she okay? Hey, bus kids up there, is he all right? Is he okay? Yeah, they're all hey, thumbs up right away. Why was I preaching about? It's probably the book of Luke. And seriously, I think it was because I was in Luke 2:11. I was in my singing about our Savior. Unto you a Savior is born. Luke 2. So maybe it must have been that. I guess so. But you did behave this week. Wife, did he behave this week? Take the garbage out? Make food? Make the bed. He's doing all that. What are you doing? Sleeping on the couch. Ladies, it's easy. You can sleep on the couch and there's plenty of room. But if you're tall, let me close. Chapter 30, verse 9. Look at the rebellion. This is a rebellious people. Lying children. Children that not hear the law of the Lord. Isaiah is just saying, look, He was being, Pastor Everson, he was being sarcastic. You think you're getting away with you can conquer death, you can conquer hell, you can be a drunk, and you can have pride, you can do all these things, you can deceive. Think you're getting away with it, don't you? And then he's sarcastic. You ever slept on a short bed? Not a lot of fun, is it, buddy? Ever
sleep with a narrow blanket? Not a lot of fun, is it? But he said, that's what you're like. You think you're so comfortable? You are not comfortable. Dom is 6'5". He's a senior in high school. Brother McMahon, are you what, 6'4"? You're a tall boy, aren't you? I wanted to measure a bed, a queen bed. Have you ever slept on a queen bed? Oh boy. You're taller than the bed, right? So what do you do with your feet? They just go out there in la-la land, I guess. Oh boy. This has nothing to do with the message. I just thought of we have this nice bed. It's not new, but it's a nice bed. It's big, that big Cal King. Somehow, I have a roommate. And my roommate thinks I hogged the bed. And this big old bed. About 2 weeks ago, I'm literally on my side with this much room on the edge. And my friend, my roommate, said to me, for you that are visiting, my roommate's my wife. My roommate said, you're hogging the bed. Any other men have that situation going on? Thank you. A lot of good, real men. You're hogging the bed. And I said, what? No, I'm not hogging the bed. I'm way over here on the edge. Give me an amen, fellas. I'm here on the edge, about ready to fall off. She goes, oh, no, you're not. I said, okay, I'm not moving. Watch. I'm not moving. I'm just moving my arm, and I'm going to turn the light on. I'm not moved over. I turned the light on. I said, now look. Well, you moved over. I'm not going to bring a lot of our bedroom into this thing here now, but I'm just telling you how it is. I'm just saying, you don't want to sleep on a short bed with narrow blankets. You have to deal with you, and I have to deal with me. Our Father, today, I thank you for Isaiah. He was exasperated with these people. They won't listen. He said, you're just a bunch of rebels. And I don't feel that way about these dear people. But I know how easy I can be a rebel. And if we're not careful, we think we're getting away with things and hiding. But we're not getting away with anything. Help us to use this text with the short bed and narrow blankets as a reminder when the blankets get off us and when the bed seems so short. I pray that we deal with ourselves. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many in this room could say, Pastor, with no one looking, I can tell you by the uplifted hand, I have been saved. I'm born again. I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. Could you lift your hand? I'm saved. You may put them down. Well, that's not 30% where the preacher said 70% were lost. That was the vast majority. And I believe you're saved. God bless you. How many say, I'm not? If I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I want to know for sure. Pray that I'd get saved. Pray that I trust Christ. Would you slip your hand up, balconies, the lower floors? I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand all over the house? I need to be born again. Thank you. Who else? I need to be saved. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but what are you hiding? Nobody knows. Oh, but somebody knows. God knows. And I'm talking to myself. He sees me. He knows me. He knows you. Our heads are bowed. Let's stand together. Shall we stand, please? Father, as we give an invitation, work on our hearts to respond. Help us not to deceive ourselves. We know how uncomfortable we are. Speak to us. The pianist plays. Will you come? If you're here to be saved or here to pray or here to unite with this church or follow the Lord Believer's Baptism, would you come all over the house? Come on. Come to Christ today. Wouldn't it be great if someone was saved here this morning or several somebodies were saved today? If you're not sure you're saved, would you come right now? Right now. God bless you. So thankful for you. Are you saved? I mean, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? Or would you go to hell? Or don't you even know? Let someone show you how to be saved. Let someone show you. Any bus drivers or captains, you can slip out if you need to. Father, I love these people so much. I'm praying for those who are without Christ. God, draw them to yourself right now in this invitation as we continue. Draw them to Christ. I thank you for that happy day so many years ago you saved me. I knew I was a wretch. I knew it. I knew I needed a Savior. Would you come? God bless you. Yes, man. Come to Christ. That's it. Our heads are bowed. Come to Christ. Brother Moore, will you be right here and help one of these men, please? That's so good. As our heads are bowed, young people, I cannot thank you up there, the bus ministry, enough for being in church today. God bless you. I love you, kids. I'm so proud of you. You ride the bus. You know, you have people that care for you, a bus driver, a bus captain, a bus worker, bus advisors up here. I thank God for you. You've listened so well. I love having you, church. I hope it's not a disappointment being in here. I love having you. I love it you get to hear a choir. I love it that maybe you girls will see one day when this pulpit is removed and you stand here in white at your wedding day. This is where the bride stands and the grooms are so decorated. There's big hope for your life, kids. Big hope. God loves you. This church loves you. Bless these teenagers, Lord, and all our visitors and friends and relatives that are here today, relatives I've met. Thank you for these that are coming to know Christ today. Open their eyes to salvation. Give us safety to our homes, our place of rest, and this afternoon, and bring us back tonight. I pray that your touch would be mightily felt in the service tonight if you should tarry. In Jesus' name, amen. So good to have you in church today. So very grateful for you. You know, I think of it, this big crowd up here in these balconies, the lower floor. God sees everything. Do you know that he sees this church this morning? And all of our auditoriums that are filled. He sees this. It must make him happy. There's people going to hear about me, to sing about me. I believe God's blessing is here. And I believe he's going to do great things for us. He has. We'll baptize in a moment. They're not ready yet. Baptism shows we believe Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again, according to the scripture. It doesn't wash away your sin. In fact, the Bible says it doesn't wash away the filth of the flesh. It's obedience. I believe he died for me. I believe he was buried. But the only God of all the gods that claim to be God, he was the only one that conquered death. And I look forward to baptism here. I'll be baptizing tonight as well. I want to get to the back of the auditorium. Kids in the bus ministry, great crowd. We're going to let you go ahead and start slipping on out if you'd like to. I'll be at the door. Maybe you can come that way. At least let me say hi to you. I don't know if you have time. It's so good to have all of you. You kids were perfect today. Y'all was perfect. But we've got the new seventh graders with us, and that's great. I don't see them ready yet. I'm going to make my way to the back of the auditorium. I'm so very grateful you're here. Obey the traffic control. We only turn right when you go out all the streets of this property. Just go right. You can go to the light, make a U-turn, but only go right. Let me pass your road. You'll be dismissed.